welcome back to the Movie Maidens podcast. As always, you're joined by me, Dorsa.
Me, Morgan.
And me, Margot.
And today, joining our royal court is our dear friend, Rowan.
What's up, everybody? It's good to be here. Do you guys give, like, medieval nicknames out to...
Sir Rowan.
I was thinking Scheming Eunuch Rowan.
Okay.
You could do that. I've been watching Game of Thrones, so yes, I really like... What's his name? Viserys?
Yes,
Varys.
Varys.
Yeah, he's pretty...
Lord Varys.
Pretty cute.
I love him.
He just gets cuter.
He does, yeah.
The spider.
But we're not here to talk about him.
Yeah, today we're talking about... Our glorious goat. Rest in peace to an absolute legend, David Lynch.
David Keith Lynch.
Rest in peace to a goat. A year since his demise just went by. What?
Demise is crazy.
That's what it was. The California
Untimely.
Fires killed
yeah.
him.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah,
that's
that
what
is
happened.
Horrible.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, in the years of smoking.
And the emphysema.
Since he was 8.
Since he was 8 years old.
Yeah.
Not even a joke.
No, it's not. That's true. Yeah. And I mean, it's pretty crazy he went as long as he did with smoking cigarettes since 8 years old and like, what, not stopping until probably like 6 months before he died when he actually got diagnosed.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Cigarettes and coffee and painting, the art life.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Lynch, man.
Well,
paint fumes probably also did not help if you like to oil paint in any capacity.
No.
Definitely not. But Rowan, our listeners, they don't know who you are. We know who you are. So, why don't you, I don't know, give a little intro to yourself, you know, not too much pressure, you know, what you love about film. If you love film, I'm not going to, you know, put words in your mouth. maybe your top 4 letterbox, if you'd be so kind as to share with us.
Yeah, of course. Well, you know, as the 3 lovely hosts here, I am a proud film student of Wilfrid Laurier University.
Ooh.
I don't know. I don't want to get any some pretentious answer why I like film. I don't know. I just like movies. I like how different movies can be, you know? There's a big range of how different movies can be, and I like how they transport me places.
Wow.
Yeah, so my letterboxed is... Okay, well, let me pull my phone out. Okay, guys, pull my phone out. For reference, if you're in the studio, you'd see that I have a hat, a David Lynch hat on.
Oh, yeah.
Shout out to Will Shaw, if he's a listener. He got this hat for me for my birthday in 2nd year. Shout out.
Mm-hmm.
Where's my letterbox? Here we go. Okay, so my letterboxed are the number one's pretty consistent. Apocalypse Now.
Mm.
You know, I think I watched that with my dad when I was in like grade 12, and it was pretty big experience. You know, I'd seen the Godfather movies before. He's like, oh, you got to see this movie that he did on Vietnam. So that's a great one. Mulholland Drive is my 2nd pick, so shout out David Lynch.
Mm-hmm.
It was Blue Velvet for a long time, but I swapped it out with Mulholland Drive after I saw it again, because, I don't know, Mulholland Drive to me is more, there's more mysteries, it's more enigmatic, I guess you could say. Then I have Stalker, Andrei Tarkovsky. It's been a while since I've seen that one, but I don't know, I really like the sci-fi world it puts me in. Sorry, I'm kind of treating this like the letterbox that you see
on
Instagram.
That's okay, that's good.
Then my final edition is more of a recent pick, Perfect Days. Wim Wenders, great movie, came out, 2 years ago. I don't know, just it's really beautiful. And I watched it, I don't know, and it had a very, very profound impact on my life at the time. So, yeah, just there right now. The 4th one's always kind of the one I just leave to slot out with the film that I'm thinking of in that moment. So,
Wow, great.
That's awesome.
Thank you for sharing. All right, guys, to kind of get our discussion on David Lynch started, I have a question here. What would you guys say is your favorite viewing of a, like, specific viewing of a David Lynch piece of work? You know, maybe, like, you have a specific memory watching a movie or just one of his things, and why it's your favorite viewing.
I can start.
Okay, Morgan.
So in 1st year, we had access to a theater and in the basement of our residence. Mm-hmm. And
Waterloo College Hall.
Ooh,
Rowan showed us Mulholland Drive and then at the end explained the movie.
Oh, yeah.
And we were all not sober.
Allegedly.
That's what they're saying.
Yeah, people the would, kids. You know.
That's what the little birds are saying.
Yeah. And it was just kind of like a fun time, bonding experience. It was a big group. So it was just, you know, that was really fun, I would say.
That was a fun time. That was the perks of being, you know, in the film RLC. They got that screening room in the basement of Waterloo College Hall. So that was fire. I can go next, I guess. That's probably up there. I was going to say that, but I won't say that because Morgan said it.
You can copy me.
No,
it's okay.
I mean, because I have another one. Because one of the big things I was upset about when I found out that he died was like, okay, I can never see a David Lynch movie in theaters like what he made. But
right.
After he died, Cineplex did a thing. I was in Vancouver at the time, and they did a thing where they played all of his films. So I went with Margot and then another classmate of ours to go see Twin Peaks Fire Walk with me. Which was just awesome to see on the big screen, really. I don't know. It was great. I just love that movie. And I don't know. I like season two of Twin Peaks. It's really fun, but it's kind of a lull for me. But like Fire Walk With Me, like I was really happy that he was able to do it after, because it's like, it's weird how it's like a prequel, but also a sequel. But like, I don't know. Just mm-hmm. it makes the it's really cool how he just explodes the whole show with that movie. Like it's totally different than the show. But sorry, I rambled.
No, that's all right. Dude, this is a podcast. Yeah. It's all we do
We're
is
always
yap.
Going off topic.
I guess I can go next. It's really funny that was both of your picks, because I was actually thinking the one you said was my least favorite. And I can go into that too if you guys also want to know my least favorite Lynch viewing experience.
Yeah.
I could think of why.
You know the story. Yeah.
Enlighten our listeners.
Yeah. But also, Rowan, the one that you picked was going to be what I said for my favorite, but I'm not going to say that.
Stealing each other's.
We are. I think maybe my favorite one might have been, I think I saw Blue Velvet for the first time in the RLC as well. It wasn't in the screening room, but it was in the living room.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really interesting. That was maybe a favorite.
That was fun.
Yeah, that was fun.
But also, I think we watched, when me, you, and Ben also watched Fire Walk With Me in the screening room. Like just the three of us, that was also good.
That was fun.
But it's really funny because what that has in common with like me, you, and Shannon seeing it like in Vancouver is like it was just complete silence the whole time.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
In both viewings for both
that
of us.
That movie locks you in and like not in a good way.
Yeah, not in a good way. It's but, it's my top two on Letterboxd.
Yo, let's go.
But yeah, so the other one was my least favorite because I was stuck beside an ex at the time, and every time anything happened, he went like this.
Not a fan.
And it would take me out because we were allegedly under the use of substances, and I have bad ADHD. So every time, like in my ear, he'd go, I'd be like, I'm watching a movie, and like that's not a movie where you want to be experiencing that way. You want to be like completely locked. Mm-hmm. So I was like, just fuck my chungus life. Like honestly, like just fuck my chungus life. But whatever.
Upsetting circumstance.
It was.
But you've seen it since, and.
I don't think I have seen
you
it since.
Seen
really?
Drive,
no.
Okay,
yo, no, should... Blue Velvet.
Oh, but Blue. No, this is Mulholland Drive.
Mulholland Drive. Yeah.
I haven't seen it since either.
You guys should revisit it. I think I actually saw it like so like over the Christmas break last year, so like right before he died probably. And that was, it's just always a good time, that one. Well, that one's always cool cuz like I have to do a shout out Drew Jeffries. I'm in his seminar class and I'm doing an assignment.
All of us
on David
are.
Lynch. We're all in the class. Love Drew. And I'm doing on David Lynch and just like kind of reading about how like Mulholland Drive was supposed to be a TV show pilot and then
starring Sherilyn Fenn.
Yeah, starring Sherilyn Fenn.
Oh, really?
He made it. Yeah, he made it into a film, and it's like, I don't know. It's, I don't have a lot of tidbits on it, but it's just kind of cool. Like he always ran into obstacles throughout his whole career, but I feel like he always found like really with what he could. Creative ways around it. Like, I mean, we talk about in Twin Peaks, like, not to spoil for the people who haven't seen it, but like, he had to reveal the killer prematurely. But I still feel like the episode, and like, he's like, I have to direct the episode that we do it.
Yeah, and it's so well done.
It's probably one of my favorite episodes in the whole show.
It's so brilliant.
So, yeah.
Morgan, you're recalling it. Like, I can tell by your face, but you were like, you weren't gagged, like, you weren't surprised, but like, you were like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, from like a non-movie standpoint, also the Twin Peaks pilot changed my life. So
yeah.
I like seeing it for the first time was like falling in love. So that's probably one of my favorite Lynch viewing experiences too. Dorsa, sorry. I also rambled.
No, guys, what's going on with these apologies? Get rid of them.
Sorry.
Hey. What the heck? I just said no, sorry. I definitely say one of my favorite David Lynch viewings that has not been mentioned by any of you guys is, remember when we watched Inland Empire?
Yes, that was
and
so good.
And also The Viewing Room. That was like, that was an experience. It was so loud, and like, that's such a crazy movie. Like, just so much is always happening. And I remember being the whole time like, what the freaking heck is happening? But I was like, glued to the screen.
That is really funny that you mentioned that that is your favorite viewing, because I was having like a bad day that day, and then I was like, I want to hang out with my friends. I'm sure they're in the screening room. And I came down, and it was during the one part, during that really, really scary part. And that's the only part of the film that I thought, I was like, what the fuck is this, guy?
No.
And I like came down for like comfort and being around my friends. And I was like, and then I like left. As soon as the scary thing ended, I think I like left.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow. Yeah. Okay. So not gonna lie, guys, I don't think I'll watch that movie.
Yeah. It was like, I feel like it was, I don't know, I feel like the way that we watched it was maybe apt to the movie, because it was, again, it was on a big screen, and like, I was fearful for my life at certain points, you know, like I really was, it was working, and I was like, what the, and then I was like, wait, what is this freaking rabbit short film doing here? What? And every time there was a rug out, I was just thinking, is that a Persian rug?
I saw the rabbit burp. Sorry, it's coming back
yeah.
to me.
Yeah, you were there in the beginning, and then you left, I think, and then you came back?
Maybe? I don't know.
Something like that.
Something like that.
Bro,
something.
I was so fucking scared during that.
That's probably the most nightmarish Lynch experience I've had, and just because it's that movie is just like fucking
But
crazy.
The thing is, I'm never going to have a viewing of that movie like that ever again, I think. You know, that's why it sticks out for me. It's not necessarily it was the most like relaxing or enjoyable in that sense, but definitely unique and memorable in my book.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we were talking about before the show, but that famous quote, where, like, there's a famous clip of David who's like, I'm so fucking depressed. I don't even know what I'm going to do today. And that's just because, like, he didn't, for Inland Empire, he's like, I'm not planning anything. I'm going to write everything that we shoot, like, right before we do it. And just, like, he's like, yeah, bro, did not know what he was doing at points. So I was like, yeah, let me stick this rabbit short film that I did fucking in the 90s into this.
Yeah.
And yet it works.
It does work.
The end result's so awesome.
Yeah. What I'm excited for, a viewing experience I'm excited to do, is The Princess is having Twin Peaks The Return every week on Tuesdays.
Yep.
Tuesday nights.
At 7.
And I just started The Return, so I was like, oh my god, this is actually perfect timing. So I'm hyped. Seeing that on the big screen is going to be sick.
Yeah, and that's like...
Gosh, I'm so excited.
I mean, I watched like the whole show in like within like 2 days, and I treated that as just like one long movie. So watching it in a theater probably is like one of the best ways to see it.
Yeah, in 3-episode increments.
Yeah. Hype. His final magnum opus.
Yeah.
I'm so excited to see, like, people who haven't seen it for the first time, like there.
Me?
Yes, like you, Morgan, and also you, Dorsa, more than likely. Like, your reactions to it, because, like, genuinely, I think when I watched it all for the first time, I had to go back and restart the whole thing. I didn't finish it all in one go, because I felt like I was rushing myself. I was waiting for something specific to happen, and I had an expectation, and it took very long for it to be fulfilled. And Rowan's laughing because he knows exactly what I'm talking about. But if you know, you know. But so I went back and I rewatched everything because I was like, actually, like my mindset was so bad, but. I think I have, like, the most, like, recorded videos of myself, like, crashing out and, like, reacting to something, like, watching it, like, ever with Twin Peaks. Like, I have, like, a whole month in my Snapchat where it's just, like, video reaction, video. Like, of me being like, I have no one to talk to about this. Like, no one's going to understand what I'm talking about.
It's crazy because it's another instance of, like, you saw Twin Peaks Fire Walk With Me and that, like, remade the show. And then Twin Peaks The Return is, like... It's like David Lynch could literally do whatever he wanted. And he's like, 18 episodes of, you'll see. You'll see what happens. Like, there's no, like, in most shows, like, we went to school for it, like, you can see there's, like, you know, you get into a rhythm. Like, there's episodes kind of follow a certain structure. In The Return, every episode's different. You got no idea what's going on. Mm-hmm. There's no guarantee that it's going to come back to a character that they showed in the last episode. Like, it's totally, totally Lynch, I guess, in that way.
Wow, totally Lynch.
Totally Lynch.
Bro.
Totally Lynch.
So many scenes where you just got to sit there with your mouth open. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Like, even in the stuff you've seen so far.
And I've literally only seen the first three episodes.
Even the first episode. I remember when we, like, because we watched, like, myself, you, and Ben, because I think Ben had only seen it, and you and I hadn't, and we watched the first episode together, and we're like, what the fuck?
We're talking about the box. Yeah. The cube for, like, 3 days after, and we never, like, got a consistent rhythm of, like, watching
it. That girl loved the cube, though.
She loved it. She loved it. She wanted to see the cube really bad. Yeah. Cube.
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 Orb.
Love the orb.
Cube.
Cube. Orb. There's an orb in the cube, kind of.
I know about another orb.
Oh, Lorb.
Lorb.
That's all I'm going to say because Morgan doesn't know about the orb.
Rick Drew, shout out, showed us Lorb in class.
He spoiled the show?
No, because it's so, it's like, it's so abstract that, like, it actually doesn't spoil anything about the show when he showed us.
He showed like most of an episode, but it's so late in season two that you actually like, unless you've seen the rest of it, it makes no sense. It makes zero sense.
He showed the what the fuck moment. It's like, oh, that's where all like the massive budget of the episode went to. The season went to this episode, right? Is that the one you're talking about?
I think he
it's
showed
the
like,
one he showed
part.
Mm-hmm. It was like episode 16
eight. Or, episode eight or
it's
whatever.
Like it's where the bomb drops, right?
Yeah, the bomb.
That's the only
the bomb
thing
episode.
I'll say. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And the Lorb.
Yeah, it's like it takes place like in the past, but also it's very nondescript. Yeah. It's very vague.
It's the Judy centric episode.
Yes.
That spoils nothing also.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Very vague.
Yeah. Right. We're all following what you're saying.
Yeah, he likes to do that in this stuff. Like the opening to Blue Velvet, people are like, yo, that's like Blue Velvet is like the 1950s. Like it's a 1950s suburbia or whatever, but it's like in the 80s. So
yeah.
He does that. It's like kind of that's like the postmodern aesthetic to his thing. Mm-hmm. Like it's upending of where are we? What is time? We don't know.
A little postmodern.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So does David Lynch.
Yeah. That's why I love him.
But I really love how he does postmodernism because so many of his works like focus on like things existing in this present moment, but also existing in the past and the future simultaneously. Mm-hmm. That's like a huge theme throughout his work.
Yeah.
Is like this like I don't know like fourth space I guess.
Yeah.
Of just like eternity. So there's like a lot about that, and that's honestly a lot of what the third season is about. To be honest,
yeah,
is that big theme of something else.
Something else is going on. Yeah, when I was doing my readings for this assignment, like, it kind of divided, like, oh, so Lynch has got, like, I actually had a question I wanted to ask all you guys. This is a good segue. Wow. But, like, he has kind of, like, you know, his, like, Eagle Scout main characters are always, like, kind of like him, like the Jeffrey Beaumont Blue Velvet type. They're like, oh, you know, they're the innocent people who are going to kind of discover a darkness but investigate it and go further than a heroic, I guess, in that, right? And there's, like, the really sinister villains like the Frank Booth or, like, Baron Harkonnen in his Dune. Then he has, like, the really enigmatic figures who are just, like, who are they? Like, Mystery Man, Lost Highway, the Cowboy, Mulholland Drive. And then another subtype it talked about, which is
and,
a really
what's his face in Blue Velvet?
Ben?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, Ben in Dreams, one of the best things in cinema history. Oh, that moment. Then he also talks about like the really powerful characters who are manipulating events from the outside who never actually interact with the characters that they're manipulating. So you got that in like the what's his name, Mr. Rouche or Rock in Mulholland Drive, who's behind the glass in the chair.
Yeah.
And then there's kind of like what's his like Mr. Eddie in Lost Highway a little bit too and stuff like that. So. But I wanted to ask, like, because Lynch, I think out of all of his characters, they always stick in my mind, like, regardless of the hero, the villain, or whatever. Mostly the villains really stick in my mind. But who's everyone's favorite Lynch character that has shown up across his work?
Wow.
And if we want, I mean, for the people who've seen Twin Peaks, we can also go into Twin Peaks. And be like,
okay, I
Twin
think,
Peaks
okay, I'm
well.
Okay, let's do non-Twin Peaks favorite character, and then we'll do favorite character in Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
So favorite... Yeah, who sticks out to you, David Lynch character that's not in Twin Peaks, and then we'll do.
Because I'll do my answer first at the start of the question. I mean, I'll probably say Frank Booth.
Yeah.
Just because he's the most like I don't know. I watched Blue Velvet first. It was the first Lynch movie I saw, and just to give context, I won't ramble too long. Is like
you're good.
I was talking with my parents, and they referenced the movie Blue Velvet, and I was like, "What is that?" And it was kind of around the time I was getting into film. And they're like, oh, it's by this guy, David Lynch. And I was like, who's David Lynch? I'd never heard of Blue Velvet. I hadn't really heard of Twin Peaks at that point either. I'm like, oh, he's... And my dad's just like, he's just some fucking weirdo. And I was like, what? So I switched him up. And I was like, who is David Lynch? I saw him. I was like, is this some Andy Warhol type? I saw his haircut or whatever. And then I saw Blue Velvet. So I checked out Blue Velvet. And like, I was like, Frank Booth, like, I was like, what? I'd never, the first time Frank Booth shows up in the film, I'd never seen a scene like it in a movie before. I was like, this, because before the film's like, it's weird, but it's like, okay, like, this is kind of like, you know, a stereotypical, you know, investigation detective story. But then it's like, he shows up, it's like, what is going on? It's like so psychosexual, so weird. So probably I'd say Frank Booth, because also Dennis Hopper, love him. One of my favorite actors, I'd probably say. So yeah, that's my favorite.
Good answer.
You know what? That's funny you say Frank Booth, because one of the first people that came to my mind when you said that was Dorothy, actually. Yeah. Dorothy Valens. Yeah, I mean, mostly just honestly for the aesthetic. She's so, like, I love, like, her, like, costuming and the way her hair is styled. And she's such a, like, a tragic character, but yeah. Also, again, the movie's hopeful. The movie is a hopeful movie.
She has a pretty positive ending.
Yeah, yeah. She gets away. She gets away from Frank.
Beautiful singing by her too.
Yeah, exactly too. Mm-hmm. Great character. Mm-hmm. But other than her, I'd maybe say, like, who sticks out the most is your question.
Just like, yeah, like, who memorable. With you, who sticks with you the most? Because, like, Frank Booth, like, as, like, a villain character, I'm like, I don't know. I mean, I'd also say, like, there's a similar character, like, to kind of like Frank Booth in Wild at Heart that Willem Dafoe plays. Willem Dafoe was actually in the running to be Frank Booth, but he didn't do it. But it's this guy named Bobby Peru in Wild at Heart, and he's like this bank robber, and he's like, Bobby Peru, like the country. That's what he says. That's always what he says. So the villains always of Lynch movies stick in my mind more because they're always just so over the top weird. So I don't know. Like, you know, his movies always are, but the villains always stick out in that, right, for me.
Other than that, I'd say maybe like Naomi Watts in Mulholland Drive.
Oh, yeah, she's great.
What's her name? Betty?
Betty, yeah.
Betty, yeah. Just like the scenes with her and also Laura Herring's character
Rita,
yeah, just the scenes with both of them, like they them as like a I guess as a duo rather than like a single character, them as a duo and like their whole story.
Yeah,
like I always think about, I'm like, that's freaking so twisted, man. It's like crazy.
Yeah.
Like, wow.
Yeah,
guys, being a lesbian isn't freaking simple, it's complicated. As you can see in Mulholland Drive. That's just average. That's average two girls talking stage is Mulholland Drive. Average psychological warfare you have to go through. Anyone else want to talk about their favorite Lynch character that comes to mind?
The only thing I've consumed of Lynch in the past like year is all Twin Peaks media. Mm-hmm. But since you were making me pick another, God. Paul Atreides.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
From Dune, but that's not an original Lynch, so I guess I'll also go Betty from Mulholland Drive. Be basic and copy you.
No. Hey, she's iconic. Mm-hmm.
I was also gonna say Betty from Mulholland Drive. But I like his Eagle Scout characters a lot. Mm-hmm. Rowan was literally reading that article in class, and I was like, I've read that one.
He talks about it a lot, yeah.
He does, but it makes so much sense. Mm-hmm. But I'm really, really drawn to like his Eagle Scout archetype because I did Girl Scouts and Girl Guides. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like locked in on scouting and guiding for like a lot of years. So I was very, very sworn to my oath, like very like knightly, very scouty for many years. Like, I literally just told Morgan a story about like me being a kid and like another kid being like, we can steal my dad's weed and smoke it when I was in like grade 6, and me like, and then we can smoke it with all these new people you've never met. And I had a panic attack and called my parents to pick me up. I freaked out
because
I was like, I'm a girl, God, I can't do this. I'm 12.
Let's go.
I'm 12 years old. I can't smoke pot.
That's good advice, guys. Take that advice. Yeah. If you're 12 years old and you're listening, no drugs.
Have a panic attack and embarrass yourself in front of your coolest friend. But yeah, so I really relate to those like kind of like kooky, like like, but kind of like weirdly perverse a lot of the time characters. Like Jeffrey's like a pervert.
He's low key like, I will keep looking at you, Dorothy.
So I'm like, they're so weird. Like, what is going on there? Like, you're so honorable, but you're so skeevy at the same
They're all Lynch.
So I love
it. It's a darkness coming out from underneath the beauty of the facade of the perfect white picket fence life, the perfect Americana dream that is unachievable, because if you try to deny the bad, it will come out anyways, you know?
But yeah, so probably Jeffrey's a favorite of mine, but I also really like Alvin in The Straight Story.
Yo, Alvin's
oh,
sick,
I completely forgot. Oh, yeah, we Alvin's saw The Straight Story at the Cinematheque
in Vancouver.
I forgot about that. Yeah, honestly, okay, you know what? This we'll get back to, don't worry, we'll get back to Twin Peaks characters, but this circles back to a question that I wanted to ask, which I was like, this is kind of like, I hesitated to ask this because I'm like, I feel like this is a hard question, but I just figured out my answer to the question, so I am going to ask the question. Most underrated David Lynch work. I feel like people never talk about The Straight Story. Like, when people are talking about David Lynch and his works, and I get it's because it's like, I guess it's one of his more conventional...
It's because it's a Disney movie.
Yeah, it's a Disney movie. That
kind of, but like, no one talks about it. And it's like...
It's about a true story.
Also, like, I think it makes, like... That being in his filmography, it's like it's endearing, you know. It endears me to him.
Yeah.
So, what do you guys think is like the most like underrated? I phrase this question this way: like, what do you think it's the most underrated Lynch scene? Because like something that like you don't see reposted on all those like what's your favorite? Let's say David Lynch scene that you feel like people don't maybe bring up that you thought was really funny. But you maybe don't see reposted on those like cinephile Instagram accounts or memed about.
Okay.
If one comes to mind, that is. No pressure, guys.
I actually do have an immediate answer for this.
There you go.
My favorite Lynch thing that is not talked about. Well, not my favorite Lynch thing, but one of the ones that I'm like hidden gem. You guys know that picture where it's the guy with the magnifying glasses, like looking at the other guy's phone.
Exactly.
That's me with Dumbland. I was like urging everyone to watch Dumbland for
I've
like a month
a bit
after.
Of it because of you.
But it's like a really bizarre sense of humor. It's been completely hit or miss every single time I've shown people it. And the only other person that finds it as like hilarious as I do is my mom. Like we were actually crying laughing watching it, and we showed it to the rest of our family, and they're like, this is the stupidest fucking thing I've ever seen, and it's not funny. And I was like, damn guys, you don't even understand, like, come on, the genius of Dumbland. It's just a lot of David Lynch voices and writes it all and animates it all, and it's just so funny to me. It's about like small town American things. Maybe that's why me and my mom find it funny, because I like we both lived in the States for a while, but it's like so like just like American dumbass, like hates his family, like hates his wife, like his like son's always running around screaming, going, "Hey dad, hey dad, hey dad, look at me, hey dad, look at me." And he's like, "Shut up." So it's so good to me. But like for like underrated scene, I think any scene in Eraserhead where like the baby's like, I think those should be reposted more. Like where he starts coughing up like all that stuff, and like Jack Nance is like, "What the fuck do I do with this baby?" That scene's like really upsetting and funny to me. Out of context, I find it quite funny, but in the actual film, I'm like, please take care of the baby, please. I have maternal instincts for Eraserhead baby. To be honest, I'm like, guys, come on, what are you doing?
He's beautiful.
He is beautiful. Yeah. My little AirPod, isn't he beautiful?
I said The Straight Story, but in terms of scene, I'll say, maybe I'm wrong, maybe this does get reposted a lot, but I haven't seen it reposted a lot, of in Blue Velvet when Jeffrey Beaumont is in Dorothy's apartment and Frank is like, it's like near the end of the movie, I think. Mm-hmm. Frank comes in and Jeffrey's smart enough to like make the call with his like walkie or whatever, to like come get him. And then he leaves the walkie there and he goes to hide somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And Frank takes the bait where he thinks like, oh, I can figure out where he is now. And he's just like, you stupid fuck. Like, you left your phone, you stupid fuck. Like, that's just so funny to me.
It is so funny, bro.
Like,
I love that scene.
Stupid fuck. Like, he's just like scolding it. It's like, bro, do you think he's that dumb? But it's like, he's just so, it just shows I don't know. It just really makes me laugh. And I feel like if I was like a freaking meme account, I'd just be having a clip of that. Just know what fuck. Like, I don't even know if that's exactly what he says. That's my hidden gem.
I'm trying to think. I rack my head for this. What just popped into my head now is I think I've seen it on Instagram before, but I don't think I've seen it around that much. Definitely not the full clip. But in Mulholland Drive, when Adam Kesher, the director, when he like the first time you see him, you have to meet with the two producers, and Angelo Badalamenti is one of them,
mm-hmm.
and they're like, oh, and then he comes in. There's this like little gag where it's like, oh, he. I got this guy. He makes the best espressos in the world because I know how picky you are with espressos.
Oh, yeah.
And then the guy brings in the espresso, and the guy drinks it, and it's the most, like, disgusting, spit it out, like, licking his tongue, like trying to lick the taste off his tongue. It, like, gives away, and there's literally no reaction to it past that point. And the guy's like, was bragging that it was the best espresso ever. I was just, like, so upset, so defeated at the end, and just not a lot of people pay attention to it because there's, like, other shit going on. But
yeah.
I guess.
Good answer.
Do you have a moment in mind, Morgan? It's okay if not.
I can't think of any underrated anythings because I've only seen mainstream stuff. Because I only see what people show me.
What about something in Twin Peaks, though?
No, I was... I'm getting there. I think this is a spoiler-free answer. So season two is a little bit silly. It's a little bit of a silly season. And in it, they do a Miss Twin Peaks pageant.
Okay, yes.
And at the end of it, there's like this dance number where they start spinning multicolored umbrellas.
Ooh.
And just that whole thing. I'm just like, that's awesome.
Yeah, you were surprised. You were like, what?
No, because it's just, I just didn't expect it from the show. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I love synchronized dance numbers. Yeah. So I was like, this
there you
is
go.
Awesome.
I'm going to be bad. I also thought of another answer that I think is funnier.
Sure.
In Fire Walk With Me, this is going to be really quick. There's like this through line where Laura keeps calling herself a muffin. Like it happens multiple times. This is not a spoiler. It has nothing to do with anything. And at
Lol
one
XD random
at I'm one point she's with one character in a club and he walks up to her super drunk. It's a character that is known. It is known. But
it is known.
I don't want to say it for spoilers. So she walks up to this person in the club and he goes, "I'm the Great Went," and she goes, "And I'm the Muffin," and that's their whole exchange. And that part always makes me laugh. And then he like pretends like he shoots himself in the head after, so he's like, "It's like wow. A really weird,
epic
exchange."
Epic
season two of Twin Peaks is really a gold mine for that question. There's so many things that happen in that show that like probably aren't from Lynch, aren't like from Lynch because he wasn't really involved in the second season so much.
Mr.
But like
Frost
there's just total
work.
Craziness, but they're so funny.
Is season two when Ben and Jerry dance around?
Yeah, they dance.
Oh, that's
like
one of
the
best
dance.
Moments.
I
in the
love
show.
Yeah. When that happens. They just dance around in their office.
Yeah. When Leland starts singing.
Yeah. There's dotes and dozy dotes.
Guys, for context, I'm the worst person in the world, and I haven't watched all of Twin Peaks. I'm almost done season one. I've seen the first episode maybe like four times, and like the second episode like two or three times. I think I'm one episode away from being done season one.
Yep.
The last episode of season one might be the best episode too. It's really good.
Yeah, I was gonna say lock in, get there, bro.
Yeah, and here's the thing. The reason why I'm so slow at watching this, I'm a notorious TV binger, or I used to be, but it's because I actually care so much, guys. And I always want to be in like the right mindset to watch Twin Peaks. I don't want to just throw it on. Like I want to be locked in, like paying attention to everything. But with that in mind, what's everyone's favorite Twin Peaks character? I told you we'd get back around to it.
Who's your favorite?
Yeah. Okay. My favorite character, with the knowledge that I've only seen pretty much season one, I think anyone that says they don't like Cooper is a liar, I think, and a cheat.
People don't like Cooper?
Actually, I don't think I've ever seen anyone say they don't like
well,
Cooper.
Well, like if he's not even brought up in terms of like when you're talking about best characters. Mm. Obviously, he's goated. I would say... I am a big fan of Josie. I just think that she's just serving all the time.
She is.
I also really like Harry.
True. Min.
shout out Gordon Cole. Mm-hmm, of course. David Lynch's character.
I can see. Sorry. I can see.
I'm not great with names.
I can hear. Yeah. I can hear you perfectly.
So that's so embarrassing.
Yeah, you got spoiled on that scene.
Yeah, because all the freaking Instagram accounts are always posting
true.
It.
I love Shelley.
Yeah. What you need to understand about Twin Peaks, Cooper. Yeah. So I'd probably say, yeah, Harry, Josie, probably. If there's someone that is, I feel like that's usually what I say for...
Yeah.
Favorite characters and Gordon Cole, obviously. But yeah.
That's really funny because that's our friend Malika's like top as well. She loves Harry and Josie. That's her
Persian
favorite.
Girls love freaking Iranian girls love
the Harry and Josie pairing.
Yeah. Also, yeah, I just really like them together. I think they look great together.
I think it's so cute that Michael Onkin had a crush on her.
Yeah.
On set. And he'd be like, oh, I did that take wrong. We gotta redo it, guys.
That's actually kawaii.
Kawaii.
Okay, guys. Your favorite characters.
I mean, I'm gonna say a few things. I mean, I think my favorite is probably Leland Palmer, just because, like, I don't know, he is really interesting the whole way through the show, especially in the first season. And I don't know, just like what happens to him after he loses his daughter is, I don't know, I never saw any of it coming. Like what he was gonna do, when he just runs and singing.
Yeah,
it's not really a big spoiler, but his hair just goes white. Mm-hmm.
That's what stress does to your bro.
For real,
it's true. Yeah, I got a bunch of white hairs on my head.
Literally.
And then I really do love Jack Nance's character. There's a fish in the percolator.
Percolator.
He's great. And then the last one I'll say is kind of deep cut. Fire Walk With Me, Ref. Philip Jeffries, David Bowie.
Yeah.
Now we're not going to talk about, what does he say? What's her name?
We're not going to talk about Judy.
We're not going to talk
Here's
about
what
Judy
we're going to do. We're not going to talk about Judy. That's who we're not going to talk about.
Yeah, he's cool.
Wow.
That's fire. He is cool.
I made a
teapot with my arm. I just don't, I can't, you guys will learn.
Yeah,
you'll understand.
That's a return ref.
Wow. Okay. Which you can see at the Princess, guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. At the end of the month.
Yep. Tuesdays, 7.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We'll be there.
We will.
Yeah.
Like, actually. Yeah. I like a lot of characters, and I hate a lot of characters. Mm-hmm. Specifically, one guy, he's really scary. He's really long hair. I won't say anything else.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Every time he came on screen, I was like, ah!
Great set decorator, though.
Morgan calls him Rat Man.
Yeah, he looks like a rat.
No hate.
No shade to the actual guy, but I literally was like, ah, the Rat Man.
Frank Silva, rest in peace.
Frank Silva.
Yeah, rest in peace. Sorry, he's not my favorite, to be clear. I like Lucy.
Mm-hmm.
Lucy the goat. Everyone likes Dale. I like Dale. And I just want to say, I'm a Dale and... Harry Shipper.
Yeah,
I'm
that's real. There. Yeah.
True Coop.
Yeah, True Coop. That's, yeah. Margo was like, you know, people ship them, right? And I was like, oh, I'm one of those people. I was like, wow.
You mean me?
Literally, I was like, wait.
You're looking at him.
I'm yeah. in the niche Albert Harry ship.
So, okay, wait.
There's people ship the three of them together.
Wait,
I call it True Coop Field.
You bring this up. Albert's one of my faves.
Albert's fucking awesome.
I actually freaking love him. I like Harry. Oh, I really like Hawk.
Yes, Hawk.
Mm-hmm. Locked in. Sick. I like Hawk a lot. Every time that the sheriff station, I'm like, wow, go.
You love Andy.
I really
too.
Like Andy. I was gonna say Andy.
Yes, Andy.
Guys, I think Andy Twin Peaks looks like Stan Laurel of Laurel and Hardy.
Wow. Yeah, a little bit.
Fame. Yeah. And you said it was the hair, and I think it's the eyes. Mm-hmm. You know what? I'm gonna pull up a side by side while you guys keep talking. Actually,
I feel like there's more characters that I like. I like Shelly a lot.
You like Shelly a lot.
She's
I think
so beautiful.
The actress that plays Shelly, I always think that she looks like my mom.
Yeah.
Like,
that's awesome. I kind of see it, yeah.
Yeah, because they both
Because it's like the tweet that I saw where I was, it was like, they
serving
were all serving
major Iranian face.
Iranian face.
Oh my gosh.
It's true, bro.
Major Briggs.
Major Briggs.
Major Briggs,
yes. Major Briggs is the goat.
Who is also on X-Files.
And Bobby Briggs, you know, he's a dick in the main show, but he has a surprising turn in the
turn. He's an intriguing guy in season 3.
Mm-hmm. I never hated Bobby because I hated like Leo so much.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what, Bobby's fine.
Yeah, in comparison to Leo, it's like, fuck.
Right?
What's the name of the guy that plays Andy?
Just
because I don't want to search.
It is, oh my gosh, it's on the tip of my tongue.
Actually, you know what?
You could look up Andy.
Yeah.
Okay. You can look up Andy.
Who are the French brothers? And there's like three of them.
Oh, it's Jean-Jacques and Bernard.
Bro. I like Michael Parks is the one that plays the guy that comes yes. in, right?
He's I think lead. So.
And then David Duchovny.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yes. Denise.
Yeah, yes. Denise is a great character, too.
Denise is a great character.
Gorgeous character.
Yeah.
Just saying.
True.
Yeah, gorgeous.
There's more characters I like, but Margot, you go.
Okay. My favorite.
Sorry.
Annie, I don't hate her anymore, but when I was...
Guys, I'm sorry. Okay, I think that they...
They do look like they make the same face.
They actually do.
I mean, it's like similar type of comedy too. Like, yeah, like Andy is like slapstick comedy. And
but the eyes, is. Look at the eye shape. The eye shape of the eyebrows.
Andy spelunking.
Andy,
it's just the way
Andy,
he cries.
When he spelunks to the office, actually kills
him. He also looks. He gives Doofy from Scream.
He does.
Yep.
He does majorly.
Yep.
Oh, that is a really good. That's.
Thank
so
you.
Good.
Thank
I
you.
I love Doofy. Scream, man.
My favorite, Dale. Of course. Albert, Harry, of course.
Wyndham Earl.
Wyndham Earl is genuinely one of my favorite characters.
Sorry.
Sorry, I just pictured a funny scene.
Anything Wyndham Earl does, I absolutely love. I know everybody's like, late season two fell off. Late season two is the worst. It's slop. Like, I eat it up with a spoon every time. I'm like, give me more Wyndham Earl. Yes, have another scene with the flute for some reason. I don't know what's going on there. I love Wyndham Earl. Like, I sound like Matthew McFadden, Pride and Prejudice. I love you. I love you, Wyndham Earl.
I love you, Wyndham. I love you.
Yeah, I like anyone associated with, like, the FBI, pretty much. Like, Philip Jeffries, Albert, freaking Gordon.
Yeah, Gordon.
Yeah.
Audrey used to be my second favorite character of all time, but as I've gotten older, she's become more and more difficult for me to watch.
Bro, when she was in Cooper's bed, I was like, what are you doing?
See, the first time I watched that, I was 17 and I was her age, and I was like, this is low-key genius.
No, but the thing is, the
older I get, I'm like, this is actually, like, if I was Cooper, I'd be like, get the fuck out of here. Get out of here, little girl.
And the way that he, like... lets her down, I'm like, well, she's gonna like you more.
I know.
Because he's like, you're beautiful, you're talented, whatever, but like, it's like, I took an oath and it's just wrong. Like, it's like, wow, he has morals. Like, it's like, I'm sorry, Goop, bro. There's freaking nothing you can do.
She consistently has like whack shit going on to her throughout the show. Like, I mean, her first moment where she's like, my friend's dead. And like, to all the Norwegians that just don't
understand
her.
Yeah.
She washed up on a rocky beach.
And it's like, what's her, like the Audrey's waltz or whatever? Like
Audrey's dance. Oh, yeah.
And Bottle Lamenti's score for her.
Freshly squeezed.
What's your, guys, what's your favorite Angelo Badalamenti?
Mine is Freshly Squeezed. Because I like that the first time you hear it in the show, Cooper goes, and I'll have some oranges freshly squeezed. And then like the snare kicks in. Like,
yes.
And then Audrey comes in. And I'm like, this is peak.
Twin Peak.
I mean, literally. Twin Peaks theme, Laura Palmer's theme are probably the standouts. And I mean, I like all his, like the background stuff he does in Mulholland Drive and Love It are also my favorites too. They're good.
Yeah. I really like Love Theme also.
Love Theme is really good.
Twin Peaks.
Mm-hmm. Love Theme is in season two a lot. So if you like Love Theme.
Okay.
I famously don't know the names of anything, so I will. I also will say the Twin Peaks theme and Laura Palmer's theme because I can picture what those sound like, and I can't picture anything else. So picture as in like listen,
auditorily imagine.
You guys get it.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone should watch on YouTube. There's a video of Angelo Badalamenti talking about composing Laura Palmer's theme, and our friend Ben. He always said, when he sent me the video, he's like, oh, I found it. And he said, it's like they're making love.
Yeah.
It's like, that's so funny. Because it's kind of how he talks he's about like, how Mitch was talking to him.
Angela.
Yes. Keep going. Yes. More.
She's washed up on the beach.
Yeah. And you're seeing her. She's beautiful.
But she's dead.
it's
that
really
was
funny.
Freaking Jennifer Coolidge. That was not David Lynch. But
she's dead. It's a fine line. You slip into
But
them.
She's dead.
And today I was thinking of Video Games by Lana Del Rey from 2011.
Lana Del Rey should have been in The Return.
Yes, yeah. Sky Fiera is in The Return. That's something for you guys to look forward to. I haven't told you.
Apparently, he has a new look, and he no longer has the goatee. And
I heard of
and
this,
and
but I was too scared to look.
Bleached tips, what are they
Frosted
called?
Tips.
Frosted tips. Oh. And he just, like, it's, like, brown hair, like, combed, just, like, regular, and just, like,
he's
no
like
facial hair. And he actually, like, I searched it up, and I was like, who the fuck is this guy? He looks like a totally, like, regular suburban, like,
wait,
dad.
What?
Like, it's, like, I actually was, like, wait, like, low-key scared.
I did, wait. Oh, Guy Fieri. No, Sky Fiera. Sky Fiera, guys. Not Guy Fieri.
Oh.
I was like, is...
Wait, why does Guy Fieri look like AI now?
Yeah, what's his new look? He looks like John Goodman.
He looks like AI John Goodman.
Wait, who's Sky?
Sky Fiera, the musical artist.
Sky Fiera. Is he one of
the people you'll see her face, and she was everywhere in 2014, like, on the internet.
Yeah.
Who is she again in The Return?
She is a person at the Roadhouse. She's one of the Roadhouse episodes.
Those moments. Yeah. Always before they show the performance that they have, like, the little scene.
Yeah.
That's always sick. Oh, actually, that's the question I want to ask. Because Lynch is known so much for having, like, these diegetic, like, musical performances that kind of, like, take away from the stop the narrative thrust. What are your favorite moments of that? I mean, I'll go first and just say sort of In Dreams, Ben, that moment's sick for multiple reasons, just amazing lip syncing and just a perfect song. And also, like, once again, like, what is going on with Frank Boof in that moment? Yeah. What is with that song with him? Like,
why does he love it so much?
He's literally going through every single possible emotion while that song is being sang.
When you asked, that was the, like, immediate thing that came
to
my head.
It's that and then the Mulholland Drive one I always think about.
Club.
16 Wishes?
There's that one, then there's one right after that comes.
I like 16 Wishes a lot.
Little
16 Reasons.
16 Reasons, sorry, yeah.
It's okay.
Every Little Star.
Yeah, Every Little Star, I really like that
every
one,
Every Little Star.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were going to do Club Silencio.
Oh, that's another good one, too. That's another great one.
I really like Blue Velvet in Blue Velvet, and Dorothy's singing it at the club.
Yeah, that one's
really
good, too.
It's a beautiful scene, like the lighting and her makeup, like the blue eyeshadow and her hair is perfect, and like the old-timey mic. Like,
yeah. Oh. You guys aren't fucking with, and you,
just you, and I.
You haven't gotten there yet, Dorsa. Just as the...
Worst characters in Twin Peaks. Let's do
James.
That. James and Donna.
Wait, literally. But I got to do my favorite musical scene. Wait. Because my favorite is in Twin Peaks. This is something you haven't seen yet, so I can't say it in full. Something horrible happens, and they are at the Roadhouse, and everyone is crying. Like, everyone is watching Julie Cruz perform, and they're all, like, crying for some reason, like characters that, like, really have no reason to be there are there. They're all in this space coincidentally, and then something happens and something shifts, and, like, Cooper gets a message. That's one of my favorite.
Yeah,
that's one of my favorite ones.
Yeah, that one's pretty
to be
sick.
Honest.
Yeah, and then as we were saying with The Return, like, with The Return, this is also why you should see it in theaters consecutively. Like, it's almost every episode they have, like, some band or some artist performs. Like, Nine Inch Nails performs
at the
end of one episode's Julie Cruz. So watching that on the big screen would be sick, too.
Yeah. It's exciting to see.
Do we all say our favorite musical scene? Oh, okay. Well, guys, what about... We've been quoting Lynch throughout this thing. What is your favorite, like, David Lynch quote? Of him saying something. Like, for example, we all say, Angelo Badalamenti, or I was into Video Games by Lana Del Rey. Two cookies and a can of Coke. What's your favorite, guys?
I'm going to say my favorite because Margot hates it.
I used to hate it. I'm used to it now.
yeah, now it's funny. But what I'll say for this is, because The Return just has so much behind the scenes. There's just the moment when Sherilyn Fenn, like, comes on set because to, like, obviously I don't want to spoil anything, but she comes back and he's like, oh my gosh, and, like, he's just going up to her and he's like, oh, so beautiful, darling. Line by line.
Take it line by line.
It's been a while.
I never realized that's what you guys were.
And he's, like, rubbing her shoulder, like, they're, like, so close together, and it's like like it's so much for me. Like I'm like putting myself in that. Like if I was watching that, I'd be like, I have to walk away. Like this is so. Like I feel like I shouldn't be seeing it. Like that's why it makes me like.
It's like he stops directing a scene when she walks in. He's like, oh my god.
Yeah, like he gets up. Like he like removes himself from the situation he's in just to talk to her. And it's that's a really good one.
That's a good one. Yeah.
I'm a fan of also. Can you roll around on the ground and cry?
Oh, that's one of my favorite ones.
He's directing children.
Can you cry like a little baby for me?
Can you roll around and cry?
I also love.
Oh, that'd be so beautiful.
The Return just has so many good moments. Once again, like when he's like, someone's like, oh, do you think we could shorten the scene down a little bit? And then he's like, who the fuck gives how long a fucking scene is? And he's really pissed. I feel like you don't see David Lynch angry a lot, but he was in that moment.
Oh. Yo, you know who one of my other favorite characters is from Return? The brothers. They're some of my favorite Twin Peaks characters. The brothers.
The mayor and his brother?
Yeah. No, not the mayor and his brother. The season three brothers.
Oh, the casino.
The casino brothers.
The casino brothers. John Belushi? Jim Belushi?
Yeah. No,
and the Belushi. Brother.
What?
There's a Belushi brother in The Return.
You'll see.
In The Return. Everyone's in The Return. So many celebrities.
What about you, Morgan?
Well, I don't know many quotes except for what you guys say. So I'm going to say when he's like, Angelo Badalamenti, because I cannot physically look at like Angelo Badalamenti's name
without hearing that
in my head. And like if I was like, oh, fuck, like, how do I pronounce it? Like, Angelo Badalamenti. How you were earlier.
Yeah.
And then you said that. It's like, OK, yeah, this is exactly like I'm in. I'm ready.
Do you know the context in which he said that?
No.
It's actually really sad. It's from his when he used to do his weather report, and it's Angelo Badalamenti unfortunately passed away, and his acknowledgement of that in the video is he's saying things and then he just pauses and he goes, Angelo Badalamenti.
That's why I started with
and,
him.
And it's
that.
Just it's just quiet and like he has sunglasses on too, so you can't even see his emotions, but it's like pensive. Like
But you can tell that he's like He's upset. It's a remorseful.
Mournful moment. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But
I don't know what my favorite Lynch quote is, actually. It might be the roll around on the floor and cry one. Or I don't even know where to start. I'm just so depressed. Because I actually think of that clip so often. Like when I'm feeling really down, I in my brain, it's I'm so depressed. I don't know what I'm doing.
Oh, also when you forget, when you have an idea and you forget to write it down, you just want to kill yourself.
That might be my favorite.
That
actually.
One's good too.
You just I love
you because that's actually, it's so real of like, you're like, I had such a good idea for a story or whatever. And like, you forgot to write it down and you're actually like, wow, I'm useless. Like,
no, it's actually the worst feeling ever.
Yeah, it's like when I forget a funny dream. I'm like, oh, so freaking funny, but I forget it. Well, I have one last question for you guys. And this one's a doozy, except it's not. Or is it? Who knows? My question is, what is your favorite homage or reference to something David Lynch and something else? If you can think of anything. I'm going to say just David Lynch's involvement in The Cleveland Show. Just him being a character and the Bitten Family Guy of David Lynch stole Christmas and they put out black coffee where he's like, I'm a black coffee.
That maybe one is good.
Just because, you know, he's so postmodern and Family Guy's postmodern.
True.
Double postmodern whammy.
I don't know.
Maybe it was a doozy.
It is a doozy.
Wow, guys, I'm not going to sell myself short anymore. I was like, this is a dumb good question.
I don't know. I mean, like, I really like, I saw the TV glow because I feel like that filmmaker, that film is like a really, like, the most Lynchian filmmaker that isn't Lynch. Like, when I get the vibe watching that, like, I don't know, and it's in the way, like, the sound design is so unsettling and unnerving and, like, you know, the use of lighting, stuff like that. I don't know. That, and then I guess, like, just David Lynch in, like, the world and popular culture, his promotion for Inland Empire when he had, when he's, like, it was specifically for Laura Dern for Best Actor. He's, like, I want Laura Dern to get a Best Actor Academy Award, and then he's just promoting Inland Empire, sitting on, like, Hollywood Boulevard with a cow and, like, just being, like, go see Inland Empire. That's it. I think that's just... That's
okay, well, let me rephrase the question maybe to make a little easier to answer. What has no association with David Lynch at all that to you gives you like David Lynch vibes, maybe. Something that you're like, this is low-key Lynchian. And
I think a lot of things are Lynchian.
Well, yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Guys, share.
Parking lots at 1 a.m. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's actually real. Oh, every single time that I'm driving at night on like a country road or something, and it's just like the painted line on the road, and I'm just like staring at it, just like that.
Bro, that will only be enhanced with season 3 of Twin Peaks. That's a constant.
Yeah, if there's honestly like a song from like the 60s or something playing, and it's there's like a droning of like a fan or like just like something like maybe a little bit unsettling, like with that kind of like era of music playing, I'm like, this could be Lynchian. This could be Lynchian. Oh,
mine is lights flickering. Mm. Anything with electricity, because there's the whole scene in Fire Walk With Me, like a really minor scene that I think about all the time. There's a bit where like it's just like a voice and it goes electricity. But there's another part where it's just like a light flickering and they're like, we're trying to fix this.
Like, it's like, just, why are you trying to fix it?
Yeah, or like he's like, this damn light.
Got a light.
Yeah, there's also
got a light.
But,
got a light.
Someone asking for a light.
One of the places I work, like, there's, like, a light broken, and it's been flickering for months right outside. And every time I leave, I'm like, this is Lynchian.
This is so Lynchian.
Electricity.
Margo, we just watched something with blue lighting for the moon, didn't we?
Blue lighting for the moon?
Well, didn't we just watch something, and it was, like, dark, and then there was,
Oh. I know what you're talking about.
Oh, like, yeah, we did.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you guys were just watching Castle or
No.
No, it was like real.
Real.
Not animated.
We're watching The Shining, right? Was it The Shining? We were saying The Shining was Lynchian.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was like there was something specific.
It might have also been Game of Thrones, because we've been watching a lot of that.
We have been watching
a lot of
Game of
Thrones.
And there's
a lot of like blue moon.
Well, anyway, specifically when the blue lighting is like a little bit too blue, and you're like, that's not real. That to me is Lynchian, because in Twin Peaks, that is the nighttime
also
lighting.
The like blue room in Mulholland Drive,
yeah,
and then like the lighting's
blue
all blue
velvet.
True. Yeah.
And there's a whole song off of the soundtrack for Fire Walk With Me called Blue Frank.
Yep.
Yo.
Wow.
Honestly, like a too nice looking suburb is Lynchian.
Yeah, anything kind of like reminiscent of like Americana, perfect like white picket
fence. Stuff like that, yeah.
Lumber. Yeah, like American Beauty. American Beauty, I'd say, is kind of Lynchian. Again, that it's like the darkness of the
high school cheer uniform.
Yeah, diners, a lot of diners.
Yeah, Margo and I and another friend just went to a diner on Sunday morning, and Margo got a black cup of coffee, and I was like, wow, just like Cooper.
I always get a black cup of coffee. I love it.
Yeah, just like Washington.
Yeah,
the state of Washington.
Mm-hmm. Oh, being in like out west in Vancouver, just kind of like the
big trees,
the weather.
The weather there.
I was like, wow, this is just like Twin Peaks.
Oh, factory districts, Eraserhead vibes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hardcore industrial.
See,
sites.
For me, those are not Lynchian because I'm from Hamilton.
Oh,
so,
that's
so
just
to me,
like, that's home.
So to me, literally, I'll be watching the movies. I'm like, just like home.
that's kind of beautiful. I feel like doorknobs for some reason sometimes. Because I think of the shot of. Yeah, he has a lot of shots of doors.
Dorsa has a thing where she's consistently psychic with things that happen in David Lynch things. All of us had a visible reaction that does she know?
I don't know. I don't know what you guys are talking about. I just feel like he has a lot of shots of doors in his movies.
I also, unrelated to this, about doorknobs, because you're bringing it up, Margo and I were at a work party, because we work at the same place.
Yes.
And our one coworker just started talking about how she was recommended this smut book of this woman falling in love with a doorknob.
Oh, I see a lot of these things that it's like, your fridge come to life. And I'm like, why would I want...
I was just like, what?
AI propaganda somehow. that's propaganda. Mm-hmm.
I was actually so like shocked by it that you talking about the doorknob. I was like, oh my, does she know?
I don't know.
And at the same event, our other coworker was talking about how Kyle MacLachlan's a cutie patootie, and I was like, I know, right? And then our other coworker said that he looked like Matthew Broderick.
No.
And I was so disgusted.
Actually, it was the same coworker that said he looked like Matthew Broderick is the one that was reading the smut about the doorknob.
Wow.
Just so you guys have a full picture.
Margo, do you want to hit him with the Tumblr fun fact about Dale Cooper?
Oh, yeah. The stupid phrase, precious bean. Cinnamon roll, most too good for this world, roll, yeah. too pure. The first ever documented use of that was about Dale Cooper.
Yep.
He is the original precious cinnamon roll, too good for this world,
so
too pure.
Funny to me.
Which, that's true.
It's actually so hilarious for a character who is like low-key a white knight in a lot of ways, like for that to be said.
Also, just like the fact that like the context of his character is like he is there to solve like the brutal murder of this like teenage girl. Mm-hmm.
But then
small bean, freaking no, precious but then cinnamon roll.
He's
too.
Also looking, giving like, stop it for me.
But then he's also like, well, is there? I kind of want to live here. Real estate options.
Yeah, he's like Dead Dog Farm. Yeah, I'm buying that. Let me look into it.
The Great Northern. Oh, Johnston Canyon. Rowan and I got a chance mm-hmm. to visit a couple years ago. Very, very Twin Peaks vibes. It's right on like the border of BC and Alberta.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Very, very Twin Peaks. Like the hotel keys look like the Great Northern
wow.
ones, like the like dark green, like plastic little yeah. diamond.
When you went, did you get cool Great Northern like key things?
I already had a Great Northern keychain because I've stayed at the hotel that's the intro to Twin Peaks, and I've been to a lot of the shooting locations, which was like really awesome. It was my birthday present last year. Shout out my mom. But no, I didn't get that, but I got a little Twin Peaks shot glass, which epic. Was pretty cool. And I would like wake up in the morning and like leave my hotel room, like take a key, whatever. And it was like kind of rainy, like it was a good season to be there. So like, and I'd stand by like the waterfall, I'd just watch it for like 30 minutes listening to music.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
And like getting sprayed by the water, it was so nice. I was like, this is actually just what I needed. I've had a crazy year, so
literally.
So yeah, it was very, very relaxing. Guys, please, if you go to the US, I know we shouldn't go to the US right now, don't go to the US mm-hmm. unless you have to, but if you do and you decide to go, please stay at the hotel it was shot at, because it is actually Indigenous owned.
Let's awesome. Go.
There you go.
Yeah. So yeah, fine. If you want to like learn a little bit about like Indigenous like culture and like Washington, check it out.
Yeah.
Shout out. There we go.
Literally.
Well, guys, make sure to catch, if you're a fan of Twin Peaks, if not, you have a limited amount of time to catch up to the return because it will be playing at the Princess.
Yeah, but it's in a couple weeks, so I believe yeah. that you guys can do it.
End of
yeah.
February, yeah. you got time.
End of February, yeah. Tuesdays, look out for it.
Starts February 24th, the day that Cooper comes into town in yeah. Twin Peaks.
There you go. Wow. Diane, Tuesday. It's February 24th.
I think it's like 11 a.m.
Yeah. But it'll be I'm playing at 7 p.m.
And we finally meet Diane, right?
Yes, in season 3, you meet Diane.
Oh.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Do you know who plays Diane?
Yes, but I do forget.
Okay,
because I am actually horrendous with actors.
I mean, it's David Lynch regular. So.
Yeah.
Oh, is it Laura Dern?
Yes.
Sorry.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I think I knew that. But thanks for tuning in. Thank you, Sir Rowan, for yes. joining our.
Of course. Thank you for yes. having me on to talk our... about David Lynch.
Yeah.
Great topic.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, love the podcast, and I can't wait to listen.
Wow. Okay, guys. As always, Rowan's been Sir Rowan.
I've been Rowan.
I've been Dorsa.
Scheming eunuch Rowan, actually.
I have and will continue to be Dorsa.
I will continue to be Morgan.
I could be Margot. I could be something else next time. I'm going to the Black Lodge. I'm scared.
No!
In dreams, I walk with
guys.
You.
Okay, guys.
In dreams.
Bye!
Bye!
Bye.
Bye.